story of Matthew about the first Palm Sunday. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That's as far as we'll read today. Imagine with me the scene, if you will. We have Jerusalem on a hill on Mount Zion. We call them mountains there. Well, there are hills. They're pretty big hills. I don't know if they're all mountains or not, but it's on a hill. And there's a valley, the Kidron Valley. And then on the other side of the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives. And then the Mount of Olives is Bethphage. And it's there that Jesus says to his disciples, "Go and get me a donkey and her young, unbroken colt, and bring them to me." And so the disciples go and do that, and they bring them over, and then the disciples put the cloaks on top of them, and Jesus starts riding the colt. Why the colt? And why the mom donkey, the genet, going along with the colt? The genet was there to keep the colt in line, walking up the road. This is the way that it's trained to act in extreme circumstances. And Jesus rides the colt down the road. And the crowd starts to gather. Now, he's literally going downhill at this point. And a crowd starts to gather behind him. And they start gaining momentum. And as crowds usually do, when you see a crowd start to go, you wonder what's going on. So the crowd just gains momentum. There's a recognition here because Jesus is coming into Jerusalem as a king, riding a humble king, riding on a colt. And the people recognize this, and they begin to shout. They begin to say with murmurs, first of all, "Hail to the king." You can just imagine a few of them just at first, "Hail to the king, Hosanna." And then again, gains and gains, and "Hail to the king, Hosanna in the highest! Hail to the Son of David! Here he comes, riding into Jerusalem." We don't know how word got up to Jerusalem, but somehow word got up there. Maybe some people were looking out. Maybe some people sent word ahead. Maybe there was already communication in between, but a crowd comes out of Jerusalem to meet the procession that's moving towards Jerusalem. And as soon as they reach Jesus, they do an about face. And they start walking into Jerusalem ahead of Jesus. And all of them are shouting the same thing. Hail, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Hail to the King. So much so that the very ground is starting to shake. It's so loud. And as they enter Jerusalem, then this crowd is just keeping on going. It's just so much. It's just too much to handle. It's at this point in Luke's account where the disciples or the Pharisees go up to Jesus and say, you might want to calm these guys down a bit. Shush them. And Jesus says, if they're quiet now, the very stones are going to cry out. I was thinking about that sometime. And I thought, oh yeah, the stones, you know, stones on the ground, they're going to cry out. But the whole city's built of stone. All the stones are going to cry out. Even the stones, the rocks that the buildings are made of are going to cry out. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet some people are saying, who is this? Who is this? Well, they're quickly answered, this is Jesus. He's the prophet. And he's from Galilee, from Nazareth in Galilee. And this is Jesus. This, you know who this is. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You know, whenever we're asked something, we're asked, who are you? You come up with a few different things about yourself normally. You say, your name? Hi, I'm Tim. What do you do? Well, I'm minister of this church. Oh, where do you come from? They're asking the same thing of Jesus. Or they're told the same thing of Jesus. And in the original text, the word answered has this connotation in it of a repeated answer. Over and over and over again, they keep on saying, this is Jesus. He's a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Maybe this is Jesus, the Galilean prophet. This is Jesus, the guy that came from Nazareth. He's the Galilean. It doesn't matter how you say it. Who's that guy? He's the prophet. His name is Jesus from Galilee. He's the Nazarene. It doesn't matter how you say it. They're all saying the same thing. And they're saying it multiple times, over and over and over again, to the question of who is this? You know, a lot of things have changed over the world since that time. But the question remains the same. In our culture, in our society, we get the same question. Who is this? Who is this? And maybe, and now for sure, the answer for us has changed because we have this luxury of knowing more of the story. You've heard Paul Harvey, maybe you've heard Paul Harvey, you've heard the rest of the story, or whatever it is. Maybe that's pretty bad, but we know more of the story, so our answer's a little bit different. Who is this Jesus? Well, this is Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He's a guy who was nailed to the cross for my sin. This is Jesus. He was died on that cross and he was resurrected in 3 days. And now he's living at the right hand of God. This is that Jesus. Who is this? Well, this is the Jesus that is still living right now after he died. He's still living right now. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus is the one, because he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. That's this Jesus. Who is this guy? This Jesus. Jesus is the one who's going to return at some point, the same way he left, riding on a cloud. See, the problem is, though, is that people's reaction in many cases is the same as it was back then too. Unbelief, or not wanting to believe. The Pharisees wanted to shut Jesus up. The Pharisees also, if you read John's account, weren't too happy about this whole Palm Sunday thing. And they wanted to kill him. And they were plotting for a way to kill him. And we know, because we know the rest of the story, we know that they did kill him. But we also know the rest of the story beyond his death too, don't we? That good news story afterwards, where 1 week from now we'll be standing here and we'll be saying, he is risen. But back then, they didn't know this part of the story and they wanted him gone. You see, we're faced with the same situation. There's many within our culture who do not want us to know about Jesus or don't understand. It's foolishness. It's moronic to believe in such a thing. Like, really, who would want to... Really? Like, and I think you people can quickly follow this. Because, okay, now if Jesus really lived, these are the arguments that we've received right now. If Jesus really lived, and that's an if, that's a big if, then, and he died, he may have had a following when he lived. He may have been a really good teacher. He may have even been very charismatic, getting a lot of people to follow him. But then if he died on a cross the way that they said he did, there's no way that he came back and was resurrected again, because people just don't come back from the dead. Don't you know, Christian? Sitting at the right hand of God, huh? Seems unlikely to me. Like really, come on. How can somebody be sitting at the right hand of God, like be risen in his body and sitting at the right hand of a spirit? How does that work, Christian? Who is this? This Jesus. He's coming again, huh? Well, those are high hopes for you, Christian. And if you want to believe this stuff, you can go ahead and believe it. And I'm glad that you need that crutch. And I'm glad that you recognize that you need a crutch there, Christian, because I'm not buying it. See, these are the words that people say to us today, or that they at least think to us and are too kind to say it. Because when they say it, they think they may offend us. But this is nothing new. This is nothing new. If we take a look at 1 Corinthians 1, you don't have to turn to it, but I will, so I won't get it wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 20. Where is the wise person, says the Apostle Paul? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Gentiles, Greeks, look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. We preach Christ crucified, which is foolishness to other people. I don't think that that's really news for you or I. But we need to preach it too. We need to keep on saying the words when we are asked the question of who is this? Who is this? Why are you coming to church on Good Friday? Don't you know that Good Friday is just a holiday? Well, Good Friday is not a holiday, not for us. Of course, we are going to church because we are going to remember Christ's death on the cross. Well, why would you want to remember something like that from 2,000 years ago? Whatever, whoever that guy was. See? See how the argument starts? You see where we go? And it's our job. Remember I said a couple weeks back? I says, you only have one job. Just one job. And the same job. To preach the word. To say it. To say it to others. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is to me. You don't have to convince people. It's not your job to convince. To go up to people and say, listen, I need you to believe. More families have been broken up about that. Or I need you not to believe. Families have been split because of that. We don't want that. But what we want to do is to say, listen, this is what who Jesus is. This is the truth of who Jesus is. This is who Jesus and what he's done for me. This is that truth of what he is and who he is and what he's done for me. And I think, folks, I think we fail quite a bit at that. I think we do. We are in such a situation right now where there's two generations that are beyond this who do not know the Lord. We have grandparents that may be sitting in and amongst us right now that have grandchildren who do not know the name Jesus. I'm sorry, other than in swear words, of course. That have never cracked open this thing. It's just something that sat on grandma's shelf. Or maybe it sat on their coffee table. And she never read it. We have to tell who Jesus is. Because if we don't tell, who will? And I know that. Because I'm just as guilty as any one of us here. Amen. Let's pray. You are an almighty God. And we are faced with a task, Lord, that we struggle with sometimes. And that's to say who you are, who is Christ. Give us the strength. Give us the energy. Give us the words we need to say it, and to say it over again and over again and over again, even if it falls on deaf ears. Even if it sounds like foolishness to others, help us to have that compassion, Lord. that calls this out of love towards others. Help us to have the means by which we can do this, the time to do this. And help us, Lord, to bring you to the forefront, not only on Good Friday and Easter and Palm Sunday, but in our daily walk with you. May you be blessed and honored by our words this week and in the weeks to come. In Christ. Amen.